Today on Real Radio.
I want to be able to go to your home or in the future, in time, if the Lord should see it, go next to your bed while you're at the hospital and not tippy-toe around and be afraid. I want to be able to come up to you and say, brother, sister, His grace is sufficient for you in the midst of your suffering that you're in right now. God's big enough.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. We're now in 2 Timothy, and much like the first, Paul warns and encourages his young protege on those issues that arise in the experiences of a pastor. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, quite simply, Have Courage.
Why don't you turn in your Bibles right now to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, as we go through chapter 1, coming through 1 Timothy, Paul's first writing, as we made the introduction really last week to this now second epistle that Paul is penning to dear Timothy, I want to remind you, if you have forgotten, that dear precious Paul is writing now, remember, from the Mamertine prison, the rat-infested pit, the sewage prison, underneath the streets of Rome. There, cold, damp, the sewer flowing by just outside the wall. The wonderful, beautiful, precious apostle of God, Paul, is nearing his death. Soon his lofty, precious mind that God has used so much will be cut off from his head by the axe of the executioner as ordered by Nero. But let's remember that Paul is an aged man. He has served the Lord faithfully in many years of service, and they haven't been easy service like we all have had. And we really have had easy years of service in our Christianity. Paul has had it hard. None of us have resisted evil, the Bible says, to the point of blood. Maybe some of us have been slapped or slugged for the gospel, but none of us have been beaten, stoned, drug outside the city, left for dead, shipwrecked. Paul has. Severely beaten, now old man, certainly bearing the scars of his ministry upon his life. And let us remember, too, that at this point in time, remember, Paul is knowing that his last weeks are at hand. He's in the prison where people go for death. There's no way out. He's aware of that. He's labored, he's ministered the gospel in all of its glory, and now he's come to face to face with a time that will soon show his departure. And it just blows my mind. And I want to glean from this morning so much, and my heart's prayer is that you will too. I tell you what my heart's prayer is, and we just got done praying it before we came out here this morning, that the Christian who's here today will leave more sure, more confident, more filled with courage in your Christian experience than you've ever had before. And it's our prayer also that if you do not know Jesus, that you will not be able to sleep tonight until you give your heart to Him. Don't be so silly as to think that you can escape, first of all, the love of God, and then finally, if rejected, His wrath. And our hearts as ministers, for some reason, I don't know why, God has ordained that there would be pastors, evangelists, and prophets to teach the church, to speak to the world the gospel message. I would not have done it that way. if I were God. I would have had incredible angels announcing to each of you personally the gospel truth so that you wouldn't have any real question about it. But God has chosen to use men. And as we look at Paul this morning, he's a man, yet he's so much seated in the heavenly places that he boggles our mind. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, when he was seeking God about an affliction that he had, he said, the Lord speaking to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast, Paul says, gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon my life. And Paul is a man that is dying. He's going to suffer. He has suffered. And yet he's waxing stronger and stronger. How can this be? Now look, people, we have entered into a world of Christianity that says, basically, pamper me, pet me, make me happy. Let's pack them in and stroke them. Don't let people think about serious things. Don't talk about suffering. People don't want to hear it. It's negative, people say. Well, you know what? I want to be able to go to your home or in the future, in time, if the Lord should see it, go next to your bed while you're at the hospital and not tippy-toe around and be afraid. I want to be able to come up to you and say, brother, sister, His grace is sufficient for you. In the midst of your suffering that you're in right now, God's big enough. You want to be able to go to a hospital bed and say to somebody, God knows you're suffering. He understands. Jesus went through it. Turn your eyes upon the Lord. Commit your way to Him. He understands. He's the God of reality. And so this morning, as we go through an area that every one of us experienced a drought when it comes to courage, sometimes in our lives, people will come up, if not blatantly, our family comes up and challenges our Christianity. And what do? We become Timothy. We become timid and we shriek back. Paul didn't do that, even in the face of death. But we want to say it simple. You say, we want to water it down and make it so you keep coming back. No, if two of you come back and then blaze a path into heaven, then we will be good and faithful servants. It's the level of commitment. Now, you may say this morning, I don't have a level of commitment. I could kind of care less, or I don't know. It's our prayer that by the time we come to the end of this message, you'll be blessed and you'll be rejuvenated and strengthened. Now, listen. People don't want to hear this thing about suffering that Paul's going to talk about. One guy said that he's afraid that many Christians in this century in which we live have become too superficial in their commitment, and that they remind him of a Sunday school scenario that he heard one time and that he saw at his church. He said once a Sunday school teacher asked the class, which of the parables is your favorite? And this little boy, Johnny, raised his hand and he said, the one where everybody loafs and fishes. And a lot of Christians want to do that. What do you like about Christianity? Well, it's you can kind of loaf and fish. You know, make it easy. You know, man, we're going to heaven. We are going to go to glory. We're not in heaven right now. We're on our way there. And in fact, for a lot of us, this is our hell for now, in a way. Living here. We're not going to see the gaping jaws of the eternal hell because Christ has come. And we put our faith in Him. And we don't want to loaf, we want to get up. And we want to work for Him. And so we enter our study this morning, picking up where we left off last, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 8. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Incredible piece of scripture. If you're taking notes this morning, it's basically divided up into three categories. In verse 8, he speaks of the power to overcome this thing of being ashamed, the power. In verses 9 to 11, he speaks of the peace over being ashamed, this peace that's present to us to overcome this. And then in verse 12, he says, really introducing us to the person who will make us able to never be ashamed again. And so let's just jump right in. In verse 8, Paul says to Timothy, therefore. And therefore, that's about as far as we have to go. That word therefore refers you back to verse 7 automatically. Whenever you see a therefore, you go back to either the preceding verse or the context to which he's speaking. Therefore, Paul says, therefore what? Well, verse 7, therefore, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 7 is the hinge that chapter 1 swings upon. If you had a highlighter, you ought to highlight that verse. You ought to circle that verse and put your initials next to it. If you're like me, you need to put it on your mirror when you shave in the morning, because we need it. That is the hinge of this entire study. Therefore, because of that, Timothy, do not be ashamed, or literally red-faced. Don't blush, Timothy, over these things, of the testimony of our Lord. Now, why should Timothy blush? Why do we blush? In verse 8, he says, therefore, don't be ashamed. The word is stop it. Don't. Do not, Timothy. In verse 12, Paul says, I'm not ashamed. He's promoting Timothy to encouragement. Timothy, I'm not ashamed. You stop it, Timothy. I'm not ashamed. And then as we'll see next week in verse 16, he says, others, Onesiphorus, another man, he's not ashamed. Timothy, you don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Others aren't ashamed. Timothy, strengthen yourself, man. Cheer up, Pastor Tim. Take strength in the Lord. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Don't be red-faced. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been red-faced for the gospel? You ever been standing there? I experienced this, I think it was Friday. We were on our way to a restaurant, driving down Central Avenue, and I saw these Harvest Crusade stickers on the back of cars in front of me. And how many of you remember when Christians used to go like this? Remember that? In the late 70s and early 80s, you saw a dove, or what looked like a dove, on a car. Or a half of a ichthys, the fish. And you go, praise the Lord, brother! One way, up, Jesus, only way. People don't do that anymore. People don't do it now. And you go down the street and you go like this, and people think you're giving them a gesture. And you go, hey, praise the Lord. And they just go, hey, man. But I was sitting there at the light, and the cars were parked there, and I noticed, they all, oh, praise the Lord, man. They got a Harvest sticker on their car. They got to be saved. You know, and then we'd speed up, and I thought, I ought to just encourage me, get their attention, you know, give them the old one way. And we got alongside, and I chickened out. And I thought, oh, they're going to think I'm a jerk, because you know what, they may not know what it means. And I looked like a dodo, you know. And the Lord said, you always look like a dodo. Well, what are you doing? Remember Timothy on Sunday? Don't be ashamed. And I went, oh, God. And we got up there, and I honked and went like this. And the lady goes, And she didn't make any expression, but And then as my harvest sticker passed her harvest sticker, isn't that sad? Oh, must be a Christian. And then she's waving out the window. I got red-faced, though. I got red-faced. Why are we like that? We're like that because of pride. We're like that because the lack of understanding. We're like that because of the lack of reality of God in our lives. As we go through here this morning, we're going to correct these things that we find in our lives. Number one, I believe that we blush as Timothy blushes because of pride. And you may disagree with that. I think you won't after I say this. Pride can manifest itself in the way of rejection. You see, I didn't want to be rejected by that total stranger on the road. Nobody wants to be rejected. Why? We take it personal, silly us. What are you being rejected for? Am I rejected because of something I have control over? Am I being rejected because I'm being a bad boy? Well, then shame on me. Am I being rejected because I'm being stupid and foolish? Well, then shame on me. But am I being rejected for Jesus' sake? You see, if you're being rejected for Jesus' sake, then happy are you. If you're being rejected because of godliness, then God bless you. But if you are not being rejected at all because you're too red-faced, me, red-faced, then it's pride. We don't want to be rejected. Why? Our feelings are going to hurt. We're going to start to think that we are now less than what we really want to be. And that's a lie. It is a lie from the enemy. We become ashamed like Timothy because we don't want to be rejected. Now, listen to what Jesus says in John 15, verse 8. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me first. If the world loved you because it loves its own, then you're not of me. But he goes on to say, but because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Why? It's okay to be railed on if you're standing for the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I've come along a little bit in my Christian walk where I kind of get excited. I'm not a martyr. The next time somebody uses the Lord's name in vain, I want you to remember two things. Why aren't they using Buddha's name in vain? Why aren't they using Joseph Smith's name in vain? They're using God the Father and His Son. So when you share the gospel with your neighbor, or you say, let's pray, dear neighbor, and they go, get out of here. Know this, that God is real, that He's real in your life, and you don't need to blush. You can be strong because you know the Word of God's true. Now, do you believe that? If you believe it, then you can take anything. Do you realize that? You can go up to your boss and say, look, here's my project. It's all done. And by the way, Jesus Christ loves you, chief. He died for your sins. God bless you. Have a good day. Turn around and walk away. Wait a minute, you bum. Get back in here. I'm going to fire you for that. Hey, know that the gospel's real. Know that it's real. Jesus says, if you stand for me, the world will hate you. Every time we as Christians get rejected for being a Christian, just look up and go, praise the Lord, man. It's real. We don't need to be ashamed. Now, he goes on to say there that we do not need to be ashamed. Timothy, therefore, because of verse 7, don't stop. Stop, Timothy, being ashamed of, number one, the testimony of our Lord. What is the testimony of our Lord? Simply John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the testimony of Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior of the world. So number one, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why are we ashamed? Because we don't understand the gospel. People, I feel so inadequate this morning. I just want to sit with all of you around a campfire and go over this for hours and hours because I need it. Why do we get ashamed? Because first of all, we get fearful of rejection. Once we've covered that, once we have victory in that, why do we get ashamed? Because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why should we? It is the greatest news the world has ever heard. But we don't believe it. We shriek back. We get very timid. John 3:16 is the greatest news in all the world. We've got a shirt. It says to Russia with love on the front and on the back. What is it? Revelation 20:11. Behold, I saw a great white throne and he who sat on it, from whose face the heaven... No. John 3:16 in Russian. Why? It's the greatest message in the universe. But we've become so Christianized that it really doesn't make an impact anymore. And we think if we're going to share that with somebody, they're going to get offended. Or we might hurt their feelings, or they might reject us. Let them reject us. You possess the greatest message in your heart that has ever been delivered by angel, by man. And I fear we don't believe it this morning. I'm afraid that we shriek back. And you say, well, not me. Well, I do. And Timothy did. And Paul always prayed for boldness. It's very important. He says, don't be ashamed of me too, nor of me, he says. What about Peter? I don't even know the man, Peter said about Jesus. In fact, in Matthew 26, as the little ladies were coming to Peter and saying, don't you know Jesus? The final time, it says that he began to curse and swear that he did not know the Lord. Peter denied him. Timothy was on the brink of giving up because the ministry had become hard. And so he goes on and he says, nor of me his prisoner. Now, real quick, we'll make a comment and then we'll go. Who is Paul a prisoner of? Jesus Christ. He's in the prison cell under Nero's order. He's not Nero's prisoner. He's Jesus's prisoner. Isn't that neat? You want positive. Remember we're talking positive, negative? Don't say anything negative. That's about as wonderful as it can be. When you're in prison, when you're on the hospital bed, you're not a patient of Dr. Hyde, Dr. Jones. You are a patient of Jesus Christ. Next time you're thrown in jail for righteousness, you're not in prison by the city of Chino Hills. You're a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's for righteousness.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at part of 2 Timothy chapter 1, it's a presentation called simply, Have Courage, which is exactly what Paul is telling young Timothy and all of us. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number is toll-free 877-RR-RADIO. We've made it easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You'll learn of just about everything that relates to this radio broadcast, events, offers, where Real Radio is heard, even links to other ministries that share our vision, and a lot more. realradioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.